Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Again, that's Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Spell it out, crossandthrone.com. We have a lot of people who seem to not be able to frame that correctly, so we're repeating it again. Our phone number, 847-312-4676, and I hope you've been enjoying our broadcast. If you are, please let us know. This program is brought to you by those who help support this ministry and getting the gospel, the grace of God, out to the world. Now, I'm going to dispense with a lot of pleasantries today because I have a very important topic, and this one may not be happy to you if you're used to the three-point sermons that are all pretty and nice, that are nice people talking about nice things to nicer people. Then this is probably not a good program for you, but this is going to be a sober reflection. And our topic today is departing from the truth. Now, before you turn the radio dial or turn off this MP3 or whatever you're going to do, I want you to realize that most people don't realize that they're in the apostasy. They think apostasy is everywhere but where they are at. But I want you to reflect solemnly and soberly, as I have, on this topic. I'm going to try to get all this out today, but it's called departing from the truth. And we're getting this text from 2 Timothy, and as we study 2 Timothy, which is Paul's last writing before his death, we find that the key word is truth. So Paul is writing his swan song, as it were, his last writing, and he keeps referencing truth, and it occurs five times. The epistle of 2 Timothy, the letter of 2 Timothy, was written during this present dispensation. And so it is truth for today. If you've listened to this program long enough, you know that we believe and teach here that Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles, and so he is addressing those who name the name of Christ today. So this epistle, 2 Timothy, is prophetic, and the apostle sees the church in ruins, a condition from which it has never recovered. It's never recovered. It doesn't matter how big a buildings, how many church steeples you put up, we're living in a time of apostasy. Its downward path of departure from the truth is given in three steps. They are found in 2 Timothy 2:18, chapter 3, verse 8, and 4, verse 4. The epistle instructs the man of God, the 2 Timothy instructs the man of God, as to his personal conduct in the midst of this ruin. Now, there are three steps of apostasy, and 2 Timothy is written to tell the individual how to conduct himself in the midst of it. Now, the steps are this. First, in chapter 2, verse 18 of 2 Timothy, people err from the truth, and then in chapter 3, verse 8, they resist the truth, and chapter 4, verse 4, they turn away from the truth. Notice that, erring from the truth, resisting the truth, and finally turning away from the truth. And this is not referring to your heathen neighbor or your unbelieving friends. This is referring to those who name the name of Christ. Well, what does it mean to name the name of Christ? It means you call yourself a Christian or a believer, or you attend a church that has a steeple on it. This is where the truth is departed from. You can have a pretty choir. You can have robed, garment-wearing ministers and talk about Jesus on Easter Sunday and Christmas morning and still be in the apostasy. And this is something we have to warn you of. Now, we're saying this not because we want to just point out fault. I want to be aware of this. But we're saying today is because our desire is that hopefully those some listening in God's grace will turn away from the error and turn to the truth. Okay, now the first step in 2 Timothy 2:18, Paul says they are erring from the truth. Error begins by perverting the truth. In Paul's time, some said that the resurrection was already past. We hear some stories like that yet today. It is natural that the enemy should attack the truth of resurrection, for it is that power which defeats him. His first lie, Satan's first lie to people, was that one does not die, and that man lives on, and there's no resurrection. No need of it. That's Satan's lie. The first lie of Satan is a part of the creed of most of Christendom today. It is this same resurrection power that gives new life to the believer, sanctifies him, and raises him with Christ to heavenly places. The Holy Spirit teaches in 1 Corinthians 15 that without resurrection all men who have died will perish. This means that they do not live and never will live unless they are resurrected from the dead. Read the chapter yourself. Read 1 Corinthians 15. Almost all professing Christianity today prefers to believe the philosophy of the heathen Plato rather than the truth of God as to the nature and destiny of man. Beware that you are not robbed of your prize and crown by a vain philosophy. Be very, very careful. Now, secondly, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, that men are resisting the truth. Men resist the truth because their minds are corrupt. They are reprobate concerning the faith. Man reaps more than what he sows. If he sows to the spiritual side of his nature, he may reap the grace of God with all the benefits and blessings. If he sows to the flesh, he will reap corruption and loss. Men are slow to change to anything new, which is an improvement. New truth is resisted. Man does not want to grow in truth and grace. The flesh wars against the spirit. He is more satisfied with forms and rituals than with spiritual truth. These forms and rituals deaden spiritual perception so that man can no longer be taught by the Holy Spirit. The Pharisees resisted truth because it would interfere with their rituals, their ideas of worship, and their mode of life. Ponder that. Truth necessitates a change. Think of this. Man can never remain the same after he has been exposed to the truth. He will either improve and want to know more truth, or he will be hardened so that finally he will not wish to have any truth at all. To be orthodox is to be set in one's opinions and beliefs. I hear so much about orthodoxy. Did you ever hear that program from the man who professes to know everything about the Bible? Always using that phrase, orthodoxy, orthodoxy, orthodoxy. It makes me sick to hear it. To be orthodox is to be set in one's opinions and beliefs. In other words, you already know all the Bible. There's no need for learning. There is no room for growth and advancement in this kind of situation. So when one subscribes to a church creed, he must stop all further growth into truth. A barrier has been set up, and the barrier is the creed. So this barrier has been set up, and he must go no farther than what the creed prescribes. The mind of man can become so corrupted with empty rituals and false worship that not a ray of light of truth can penetrate his consciousness. Now think about this. The closer one draws to Christ as he's revealed in the Word, the less religious and ritualistic he will become. Now the third and last step is turning away from the truth. When man has erred from the truth and has resisted the truth, then his next step is to accept a substitute. So he turns from the truth to fables. A fable is a lie. It is an untruth. Man does not like truth because it cuts, it hurts him. But lies are designed to please the flesh. A man likes to hear that if he does good works, he will be rewarded with eternal life. He likes to be told that he can atone for a shady deal by buying an organ for the church or subscribing to some charity. Or increasing his tithe. Man likes to be told that he can live his life as he pleases if he will support a certain denomination with his wealth, which will ensure his salvation. Man likes to be told that he can keep his own salvation by maintaining good works. Then he can boast in his flesh. He likes to be told that he can keep his salvation by observing certain ordinances his church has invented or stolen from some other dispensation. Man can deceive himself, but he cannot mock God. He will be called to account for every fable he makes himself believe. Did you hear that? We will be called into account for every fable we make ourselves believe. The man with one talent deceived himself and finally had to reckon with his master. He was a wicked and slothful servant. He wanted to be free from the bother of taking care of his master's business. He wanted to live his life in his own way, so he deceived himself into believing the wrong thing. The prophecy of Paul has been fulfilled. Christendom today has taken the three steps downward. It has erred from the truth, it has resisted the truth, and finally it has turned away from the truth and turned to fables. In the train of these three downward steps have followed awful perversions, moral corruption, and actual lies held up as articles of faith. How long will the grace of God, long-suffering God, put up with these conditions? Someday the Gentiles will be set aside just as Israel was at the end of Acts. The day of grace will be over and God will set up another program. Today many say, as did Pilate, what is truth? But they have no more desire to know it than did Pilate. Their words are just empty words. They have truth at hand in their Bibles. It is on the pages of the book they so neglect. The average church member is so indifferent to truth that he will not even spend 10 minutes studying a Sunday school lesson. He is too lazy to carry a Bible, even a small one, and has to be handed a little lesson leaf with a few verses on it when he gets to the church, if they have verses on it. The church has fallen so low, ponder this, friends, the church has fallen so low that the vast mass of its members are dumb and are satisfied that one man only in each congregation should teach and admonish them. All who have life in Christ Jesus should be so skilled in His Word as to be able to teach and admonish one another. There should be no need for a pastor today. A modern pastor is a sham. It's not biblical. Every believer should be skillful in the Word of God. But there is a few who show some spiritual life. They read and study the Word. Thank God for that. They walk worthy of their calling. They have the hope. They have Christ. Now you may ask, what is truth? Well, the truth is found in the pages of Scripture. There is truth for today which many have erred from, which many resist, from which many have turned away. When Paul wrote his last epistle, he then stated that all churches in Asia turned away from the special dispensation which God by the Holy Spirit had revealed to Paul to preach to all peoples. This dispensation was a secret which had been hidden God from ages and generations, the mystery. The church, which is his body, was not in the prophecies of the Old Testament. It is not found in the Gospels or in the New Testament either. It cannot be found in the Acts, nor in any of the epistles written during that period. You need to start studying what Paul has revealed to us. The Spirit of God has revealed to us through Paul. And you cannot find it in Peter, James, John, or Jude, or Hebrews, or Revelation. You can find it in the letters written by Paul. It is the common belief that the church of today is planted on the earth, that was true of the Hebrew church, which began with Abraham and ended at the close of the book of Acts, but the church, which is his body, the living Christ, is planted in the heavenly places, and therein lies a world of difference. The Word of God does not recognize any church or assembly on the earth today. No difference what their claims may be, they are false. God is no such organization on the earth. None today. No earthly organization even remotely represents that which is in heavenly places. Every organization with all its false claims will eventually go up in smoke. And we're going to stop there and continue this topic again tomorrow. And I'm sorry if we cut hard today. But our goal here is not to make you smile all the time, though grace should make you smile in your recognition of the position as members of the body of Christ, and the fact that Jesus Christ is a successful Savior will make you happy. But God has purposes on this earth and in the heavenly places, and our walk and beliefs today matter. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. This program is brought to you by those who support us who believe this truth. If you have any questions, give us a call. Our number 847-312-4676. And remember, the closer you draw near to Christ, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.